Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, this is Monique.
And this is Sydney.
And you're tuned into Monique and Sydney's
Open Relationship.
It's going to be the type of conversations that normally we're afraid to have out loud. Is it okay to be gay? Friends. How many of us have them? Mother and daughters. Is it always all bad? The mind's like a parachute.
It's no good unless it's open. That's what's up.
Hello, my loves, and welcome to another episode of Monique and Sydney's Open Relationship. My name is Monique.
And my name is Sydney. And I am focused.
Ow.
My name is Prince.
Well, come on, Dad. Because listen, so I hope y'all can feel this smile because I am so excited about this show today because it's so many that were my favorite. So today we are talking about what was your favorite sitcom? From back in the day. What was that sitcom, baby, that you had to get home and watch? Because wasn't no DVR, wasn't even no VCRs back in the day.
Wasn't no VCRs back in the day. Somebody put the Packers.
The Packers. Okay. What's the Packers?
The fucking Packers. That's what's up.
We're the Packers.
Come on.
We're doing our thing. It's a new type of swing. Come and join us.
Come on.
We're the Packers.
Come on.
Back in the day. Yes. Okay. Yes. Wasn't that the best?
That was the best.
Rodney Jenkins did that.
Wow.
Rodney Jenkins and Countess Vaughn. Came up with that theme song.
And then,
come on, baby. Okay, so back in the day, when I was watching sitcoms, I would have to say one of my favorite all-time sitcoms was Good Times.
Good Times.
Good Times was probably my favorite because it made you laugh, it made you cry, it made you think. Even as a kid, I went through all of those emotions. Okay, so many of the episodes was my favorite episode of Good Times, right? But this one was like the one that just really did it for me. Remember when Roz and Shirley went to stick up the Evans family?
Roz and Shirley.
It was Shirley Hemphill, and I don't know the other act.
I know you're talking about, yeah.
They went to rob them. And when Lona was able to get the gun,
right?
Even when she got that gun, you were in the living room with them because you was like, get him, oh, please. Like, you were just there.
Right there.
You were right there with that show. So Good Times for me, it was just real. It was funny. You really believe that. James and Florida, you couldn't tell me they weren't really husband and wife.
You can't tell them. And I think it was great because, to a degree, those sitcoms, they raised us as children. Because even though you saw James and, you know, you saw the family and you saw the struggles, your struggles may not have been exactly like their struggles, and or they may have been, but what you saw as a young male, especially as of color, a father who was there for his family through thick and thin, and he was going to make something work. And they, you know, through the balance of that family, you were like, wow. And then you see the dynamics of what everyone aspired to be, and you just said, you know, you want a dad like James. Like, you know, if something go wrong,
James got
it. He gonna find a way to make it right. One of my favorite episodes was when Florida tried to do something nice for the family, and they had a little extra money, and they went down to the supermarket and got some beef, and the beef was bad.
Yes.
And then the store owner, who kind of reminds you of what's his name from Morris Day. He reminded you of Morris Day in the time back in, but he ran the store and they ran the game down on him to eat his own meat. And then he got his boy down there to make it seem like he was from the Food Drug Administration. Just how they work things out. But yes, as tough as the struggle was, they always maintained their integrity. It was tested because James was like, God damn that Florida. Now, the law gave us this money right here. Okay, Florida, shit. Now, yes. But no, James. So I loved it.
Remember when Michael... Listen, there are so many episodes of Good Times, y'all, that it's just, it fills your heart up because you feel like it was just yesterday. So remember when Michael painted the picture of the black Jesus and put the black Jesus up and shit was popping off in the Evans household, baby. Everything they thought they wanted, it was happening. And it was whipping. Listen, it was kicking Florida's ass mentally because she was like, no, everything I've ever known has been a white Jesus.
Everything.
Then Velma would come in the house. Mama, you will never guess what happened. And she was like, shit.
Tavares 561, he just sat there. Remember when James, this was the one for me when you knew James was a man. When they had to make ends meet and he went out there with the pool stick.
Come on.
And had to get the rent, had to get everything in order. And that's just the way it was. James, you know I don't like no gambling, Florida.
Come on.
If you don't take your ass on, that's what he wanted to tell her. You know, I love you, and I know it, and I don't do it normally. But I'm going out here, and what we going to do, we going to make it today.
But this is also what was beautiful about it. Florida and James was that husband and wife that we wish we could have seen coming up. Because Florida was that wife. And this is going to fuck people up when I say it, but so what? She was that wife that knew her place. Like, she knew her position. And it wasn't like she was scared of James or none of that, but she knew when she needed to be quiet. Like, when James had to go out there and take that pool stick,
yeah,
it was like, listen, all this religious shit, you get ready to pop off to meet Florida. Go ahead with that shit. Now, I'm going out here and get this money, and when I come back, you have it hot and popping. And she would have it hot and popping.
You have it hot and popping.
Come on now.
You have it hot and popping. Another one of my favorites was Happy Days.
Come on.
I love Happy Days growing up because you're looking at, and when you see it now, you're like, wow, the shit you used to like when you was a kid.
Yes.
Because that was a time of innocence, and a motherfucker wanted to be the Fonz. And I wanted to be the goddamn Fonz and hit shit and be like, and knock the goddamn jukebox on, and not pay no money, and the music play.
Daddy, and then be like, hey,
I wanted to be the Fonz. Y'all don't tell nobody, but I wanted to be the Fonz now.
No.
I did. I went in. Remember, father said the Fonz ain't real, man. That's Henry Winkler. He don't act like that. I'm like, well, listen, that may be Henry Winkler and all, but the Fonz is cool to me. Yeah.
This is the shit. When you said you learn something new every day, for as long as I've been knowing this man, I never knew you wanted to be the Fonz.
I wanted to be the Fonz.
No.
I wanted to be like him.
I'm gonna tell you.
And have a Pinky Tuscadero?
Okay, come on with it now.
Pinky Tuscadero? That was a raw chick that was rolling with a man. I was like, yo, that's how I want to do it. And look at this. I'm not the Fonz, but I got Pinky Tuscadero. And the niggas try to catch us in the Malachi Crunch, but we ain't going to let them do it.
We ain't going to let them do it.
West Coast.
Coast is west.
Seth Tripp.
Shit.
You can't swim in the words of Snoop. You bound to drizzle. Clizzle. Okay, then.
Now, let me tell you something. I used to love the Fonz till I heard his ass in an interview, and he wasn't the Fonz. He was Henry Winkler. Well, Henry Winkler is far different from the Fonz. And I was like, where's the Fonz? The Fonz was like, hey.
Right.
Henry Winkler was like, yes, guys. And I said, oh, I won't. What the hell? They took the Fonz.
He was acting.
Listen.
He was acting.
Happy Days was a good one. But you know what was a favorite of mine? Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, Shlemiel.
Baby Shlemiel.
Shlemiel.
Incorporated.
Hello.
Make it On our way, get red and go now.
Do it.
Got a thing we can flow now.
What?
We're gonna make our dreams come true.
No, we're not going. Yes, we are. Come on.
Sing
it.
But didn't we sing them damn songs?
Hey.
We sung them songs. Mork and Mindy, you better get away from me.
Wait, hold down.
Come on.
Don't. Now you just said Laverne and Shirley. Can we talk about them for a minute while we love them? Or you jump on now?
Let me tell you why.
Give me some of it.
This is why I loved. I was more Laverne than I was Shirley. Because
right.
Laverne.
She didn't want to do shit. Laverne would kick it up.
A whore.
Oh, like wait a minute now. I didn't associate. But I guess quietly.
Shirley wanted to be with Carmine. Okay, Laverne was like, shit, I'm going to be with whoever is coming over for the evening. I just like that about her. Like,
right.
She was unapologetic.
Unapologetic.
And she would mix that Pepsi with that milk, baby.
Come on.
Listen here.
Come on.
And then Lenny and Squiggy would bust through the door and what they say?
Hello.
Come on. And y'all thought it was Tyler Perry, Madea. No, it was Lenny and Squiggy that said what?
Hello.
Yes. Laverne and Shirley. Okay. So now listen. Another one of my favorites was the Jeffersons. But before we can get to the Jeffersons, we must get to Maud.
Oh, okay, girl.
Because Maud was a Wheezy was Maud's maid.
That's exactly right.
Well, come
right.
on, Dan. Before
she's
we
trying to tell you information about Abraham who begat. Tell you right. Get it right now. Tell her, Rodman. Who was it?
Florida.
Oh, wait.
So it's Good Times, not the Jeffersons. We didn't get to the Jeffersons.
Oh, Wheezy was all in the family's
yes.
maid. Oh, Wheezy right. was damn maid, baby. I knew goddamn well Wheezy was a maid before they moved up.
Was she a maid?
Wheezy
before
was.
They moved
I
on
don't
up.
Think she was a
Wheezy
maid.
Was either.
No, wasn't their maid.
She
wasn't
their
neighbor.
She was their neighbor because Wheezy and George always had a couple dollars. They was.
That's why you can't get information from Robin and Sydney because they'll give you wrong shit. Okay? I'm going to give you all the right shit.
Yeah, now take it back and say it was the wrong shit. Monique up here, this is what happened when your ass get old.
Right.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing. James, his name wasn't James.
What was it, baby?
On Maud.
Come on.
I used to know, but I forgot what it was, but they didn't call him James. It was like Alan or something wild. Look it up.
Okay. But
and so, yeah.
And listen, we can't forget this one either. Give me a break, I sure deserve
Mel
it.
Carter.
Right from where I start.
You gonna do it like that?
That's what I know.
Okay then.
That's what I know.
She was a Tony Award winner.
Now Carter was.
Yes, she was.
Let's not forget Night Court with Marsha Warfield.
You can't forget it.
Okay. See, these were the sitcoms, in my humble opinion, that it just made your heart warm. You know, you couldn't wait to watch them. Like All in the Family. Archie Bunker was so goddamn rude that I loved him because he was unapologetic about his rudeness, just as was George Jefferson. And wasn't nobody fucked up when George said cracker? No one. And no one was messed up when Archie Bunker said some to the left shit.
Well, here's the thing. It was groundbreaking at that time because initially they said when the show came out, they were afraid. And initially, I think it was met with some kind of cold reviews, but then it caught on. So it was like, that was a time where it was, you know, cutting edge for Archie to say the things that he was saying. And then for, what's my man's name? I always say him, did all of that. The responsible for the Sanford and Son, the
Norman Lear.
To be groundbreaking where now you have a person of color that's able to retort back with Archie Bunker, and then, you know, move on up. So that was a groundbreaking time. You can't forget Chico and the Man.
Come on now,
Scatman Crothers, the old man, Freddie Prinze. You know, he was like, you know, a fun-loving cat. And, you know, when you found out back in the day they had passed away, you was like, oh, my God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was like coming home from school. I believe I saw the paper on the step. And he was like on the front page, and he was like, oh my God, Freddie Prinze. That was just like, you felt like
you knew
these people.
Yeah, and I think, and his name was Henry.
Henry.
Okay. Henry, yep.
Yeah.
Come on now.
It was Henry.
Florida's husband's first name was Henry Evans.
And later James.
Right, and later turned into James. I remember Nana.
Because I think that James was a stronger name.
Yeah, Henry's just sound like, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Henry, dear Henry.
But James, come on now. Sitcoms from back in the day, and we're going to come up to the 90s, but right now, if we stay around in the 70s, I remember watching Sanford and Son.
Red Fox.
Red Fox, baby. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. That, you couldn't tell me that that was not Fred Sanford.
Right.
And he really owned that junkyard, and Lamont was really his son, and Esther was really his sister-in-law that he couldn't stand, and like you couldn't, Rollo, goddammit, you couldn't tell me Rollo
was Rollo was a real cat.
You know,
Rollo was a real cat. He was a real cat.
Rollo, like, and what was the Puerto Rican brother name that lived across? Oh, man.
Julio.
With
like,
the goat.
The shit he would say to Julio. I remember one time when Julio first moved in the neighborhood, and Lamont was great start hanging out with Julio, and Fred said, they can't say their S's. So Lamont said, don't do that, because that man, you just stereotype. He said, make sure you wear your juice when you go through the joke. And Lamont was like, Pops, I'm not going to let you do that. So you would think that he's not going to say this in front of this man when mm-mm. he come over to the house.
Mm-mm.
And sure enough, when he came over, he said, they smell funny. I'm like, oh, my God, he's standing right in front of him. Like, they were just so courageous with their brilliance, and they were unapologetic for it. And I think that's what's missing in our sitcoms now. Either it's so goddamn deep in politics and you gotta say it right and we gotta address it. But back then, what would Fred Sanford have said about Black Lives Matter?
Well, see, here's the thing.
What would he have said about Donald Trump?
Well, you know how he did. He would have been like, Black Lives do matter. You know what I mean? All lives matter, but it would be some kind of ridiculous spin on it. But they weren't mean for the sake of being mean.
Yes.
See, the difference is when people feel like they're not being politically correct, they're not coming with a point of view that has humor in it. It's just something to say that sounds mean, and now it's off-putting for the sake of trying to sound strong. But they really wrote. They really considered, and they integrated the humor with the politics and the topics of the day, at least. Norman, you know, Norman Lee is his project, you know, kind of stand the test of time. You see them, you know, you see what transpires. Gomer Pyle. Gomer Pyle.
Well, golly.
Let me tell you, Gomer Pyle, the reason why I used to love Gomer Pyle, and my father couldn't stand Gomer Pyle. Like, he couldn't stand, like, you liked it. What? Because he was nice. And no matter what, he wouldn't let you fuck him up with your bullshit. Vince, Sergeant Vince, no matter how he said, I understand and that's all right. And the only thing that ever made me mad about Gomer Pyle, only one thing, he wouldn't go here and tap Miss Poobie's ass.
No, sir.
He wouldn't tap that ass.
Sir, no.
He need to go here and tap Miss Lou Ann Poobie's ass because she was just as sweet and nice. And I'm like, Gomer, what the hell? And I'm a little boy. And I'm saying, why won't he tap that ass? I'm 8'9", saying to myself, why won't he tap that ass? I didn't say it like that because I didn't know it. But in retrospect, when I reverse engineer my thinking, what I was really saying is, why don't he go ahead and tap Miss Lou Ann Poobie's ass? Somebody out there, please. I'm sorry.
Listen, this is the shit you find out about who you going to spend the rest of your life with.
Right.
I didn't know there was a Luann Poobie.
Y'all need to get y'all life together.
He took out for this one time and they had the Welsh rabbit, and the Welsh rabbit made him have nightmares.
Come on.
No.
She took it back on you.
No.
The archives, yo.
No.
You remember
that? The Baltimore, yo.
You remember that episode? He kept having them nightmares. He would get up. He would be sleepwalking. He would come out in his underwear and be talking real mean. That's the only time that he talked mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw he had that bigger in him.
Listen.
And I said bigger, y'all.
His voice
bigger.
Changed and everything.
I don't remember that part on Goma.
Hey, baby, it's all right.
But I'm going to tell you one that is one of my favorites, baby. And when I tell y'all, I would get my ass home from school and cut that TV on because it came on at 3 o'clock. It came on channel 45. And it was a part of Captain Chesapeake and Moni the Sea Monster. And that was goddamn Gilligan's Island. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, baby. When Gilligan's Island came on, everything in me lit up because I absolutely love Gilligan. Gilligan was the best, baby, because Gilligan too, Daddy, Bob Denver.
Yeah.
He just had a personality that said, God damn it, even though we shipwrecked, we're going to be all right. Even though this is bad, we're going to be all right. And we didn't know the subliminal relationships that was happening on Gilligan's Island. Gilligan and the skipper, they was together.
Wait a minute.
Okay, Gilligan and the skipper, Mr. Howe and Mrs. Howe, and sometime Ginger, one on over there with the Howes, and then Marianne and Gilligan, baby. Yeah.
Now you
Gilligan
see
Gilligan was with the professor. Gilligan was with the skipper and Marianne.
Come on, we on the island. God damn it, we stranded.
Well, who was the professor with?
The professor
was with everybody.
Come on now, James and Marianne.
Now you gonna sit there and talk about
everybody.
You gonna sit there and talk about knowing who you married to. Now this is your little warp way of saying that I seen what was going down with Miss Luann Poobie and Goma Powell, that there was some sexual tension. That's where I came to that. I ain't never seen no hints of all these extra relationships that you're talking about that happened. Was this after the credits roll?
Let me tell you about it, Daddy, because that means you wasn't paying attention.
All righty.
Now let me tell you something.
Kick it.
Okay? We shipwrecked.
All right.
Right? Now you had Ginger.
Right.
Marianne.
Right.
Miss Howe.
Right.
They the three women on the island.
There it is.
Right? Then you had the professor.
Professor.
The skipper. Mr. Howe.
Mister.
And Gilligan.
Gilligan.
So you got three women and four men.
All right.
How long was they shipwrecked? Come on, give it to me.
I don't know. It was a little period, about 5 years.
They
were
shipwrecked for five goddamn years.
Okay?
Which means one no ass coming on and one no ass going off. Mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. So now why in the hell do the skipper and Gilligan want to stay up in the same bunk? I don't want to stay with your ass. It's two other bitches here that ain't got nobody. So why don't we either invite them over to our hut or let's have single hut. So whenever we want to get a taste of Marianne or Ginger, they gonna come up, but we go, and then on top of all that, we gonna sleep on top of one another. Didn't nobody have no questions? Didn't nobody say, let's have single twin beds that could be side by side, but we gonna be on top?
What gonna make a bed out of?
The same goddamn thing they made a bed out of that was swinging.
What I will say is this. That is a lot of information that you had, and I have no retort for none of that. I ain't got no response for that. You win.
That's all I'm saying, y'all.
You win.
Because when you get grown as a child, you don't put it together. You like, they just shipwrecked. But if I'm on a goddamn island, and I'm shipwrecked for 5 years, five years, and it ain't never going to be no tension, no friction, no heat in between nobody.
I mean, the truth be told, based upon your thinking, Mr. Howe paid for all of that. The fellas ain't getting nothing. Mr. Howe had Lovey, Ginger, and Marianne, based upon the cake tip, okay? He caked them up. He promised, listen, we might not be off the island, but y'all take care of a motherfucker right now. When we do get off this bitch, y'all good.
Okay?
Yeah, that's the end of that song.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now see, these are the real sitcoms that they didn't show.
They didn't show
the
it.
Goddamn Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch, here's a story.
Okay. I know where this is going, because them brothers and sisters, they wasn't related.
They wasn't related. Okay.
They wasn't the love boat.
Come on. They was not related to
that was
a
the
damn
love boat in the Brady Bunch household.
Okay, exciting and new. Right.
Come aboard.
We're expecting you.
And these ain't none of my sisters. okay? These ain't none of my sisters.
But don't nobody want to talk about it.
Don't nobody want to talk about that, though.
Don't nobody want to talk about it. These are the sitcoms from the 70s. Okay. Now, see, remember Maude? Maude was the first sitcom that broke down how some of the little call-in shows to send money in. What the show? You know,
telethons.
The telethons. Maude was the first show in my little eyes that let you know telethons were scams. In my little eyes, as a child, do y'all remember this episode? In my little eyes, so there was they was doing a telethon to collect money. For the handicap, Daddy.
Who?
Maude.
Okay.
Was. Now, I wish y'all could see my daddy looking at me like he's looking at me, because he's looking at me like, I don't know what you get ready to say out your mouth.
I've heard this story 1,000 times.
Because I like it.
Go ahead.
So, and that'd be so awesome.
Yeah. So they doing a telethon, right? And this little girl is sitting in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And they said, her name was Sally, right? And they said, all baby Sal ever wanted to do was dance. And with your donations, it might be possible that one day children like baby Sal can dance, because all she's ever wanted to do was dance. And the people start saying, dance, baby Sal, dance. Dance, baby Sal,
dance.
Dance, baby Sal, dance. And baby Sal got her ass up out that wheelchair.
And start dancing.
And start dancing her ass off, baby.
Wow.
They was trying to sit baby Sal down like, bitch, that ain't what you do.
That ain't what you do.
We have pegged you as being handicapped.
Right.
You not supposed to dance. So they went to commercial. Now, I'm a little girl. Now, imagine, I'm like, why would they say that if she can really dance?
Wow.
So sitcoms let us sometimes see the schemes and scams, and was able to laugh at life. So that one right there tickled the shit out. Then there was the Partridge Family. Talk about it.
Oh, you gonna
come on?
You gonna throw it out there?
Come on, talk about it.
You talk about it.
I woke up in love this morning. I woke up in love this morning.
Went to sleep with you. Who was your favorite character? What was your favorite character on that?
I don't really know them. I don't really.
You just saying shit.
Mr. Kincaid.
You just gonna throw shit out there. They're the Partridge Family. Talk about it. Right.
Mr. Kincaid was having an affair with the mother and Keith.
Do you see what happens? And Keith. Okay, this is where she goes. This is where she goes with it.
Oh, baby.
Did you ever watch My Favorite Martian?
You know, Daddy, not really, because back then I couldn't connect like that with space stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, Mr. Rogers, there's a problem. Is that it? Will Rogers.
No, that would be Lost in Space.
Okay, baby, that's why.
That would be Lost in Space right now with that. No.
My favorite Martian was on the Earth.
Yeah,
was,
with Bill Bixby.
Yeah, he was on the Earth.
And the gentleman, I can't
you
think
know
of
him
his
when
name.
You see him.
You know him when you see him.
Wasn't Bill Bixby the Incredible Hulk?
He was.
Later on.
Come on,
later
baby.
Years.
Okay, don't do me.
Later years.
Okay.
I won't. How about this? Mr. Ed. You remember that?
A horse is a horse, of course.
Right. His name is Mr. Ed. Hey, Wilbur. That's how you do. Wilbur. Tell me, Wilbur, what the fuck is up with you? I used to love Mr. Ed, man. It was incredible.
You know, I really didn't relate to Mr. Ed either, because he was a horse that,
right,
that could talk. And I hadn't seen anything like that before.
So, sure you have. Remember the WB frog? Remember, it was just like the frog in the cartoons.
Remember?
That everybody would all, that nobody would see the frog talking except that one man. So he was like the one man that would hear, and the horse would break things down.
He was trying to get money with that frog, and every time.
Right. It never worked out.
Like, every time people would come around, he'd be like, and the frog be like, ribbit.
Right. Now, with a horse, he never said nothing. But hey. These are things that I enjoyed.
They was, baby. I'm going to tell you something, though. You know what's missing in sitcoms? The goddamn theme music. Baby, let me tell you something. when you heard Good Times Coming On, just the song made you excited. Just looking out of the window, watching the asphalt grow, thinking about all these hand-me-downs. Y'all not going to?
No.
I'm not going to entertain that with you. We're going to listen.
Keeping your head in the water.
Out. What about the I Jefferson. Love Jeannie?
Oh. I love Jeannie. Come on now, baby. That was one of my favorites.
That's another one that threw me off, too.
Daddy.
I didn't understand Major Tony Nelson. I didn't understand him. Once again, I'm like, hold up. Barbara Eden's ass was walking around in sheer shit all the time. He had an ass in the bottle. She would do anything for him. Anything for him. And yet he want to keep her in the bottle. Okay? He didn't want to kick it with her. She could have been good for him. I ain't understand that. I ain't understand it. Somebody help me out with that one.
Well, I'm going to tell you about that
okay.
one. Okay. Because Major Tony Nelson.
Yeah.
Right? He was scared of her. To do it to her. Because he knew she had powers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't want to make no more babies like that.
What?
But his partner, what was his partner's name?
Major Healy.
Major Healy was fucking the shit.
Oh my.
Out of Jeannie, I Dream of Jeannie.
Is that what it was?
What? Listen, here. Okay, let's think about it. Let's think about it. How long was Jeannie in that bottle?
I don't know.
For
five years.
Five goddamn years.
Okay.
And that was his boy. Okay? He was the only one that knew Jeannie was in the bottle. No one else knew. Not the colonel, not none of their friends, none of that. Now, Major Nelson was a square. He was scared to tap it. But Major Healy, baby, he let him know, I'm going to get some of that magical
pussy.
You just
tuned in.
Okay, that's what's
going to
happen right here.
This right here is all the stuff you didn't know that was happening with the sitcom.
Some of that magical pussy.
Oh.
Ding-a-bong-bing.
Ding-a-bong-bing. That's how she did a ding-a-bong-bing. Okay, not the boing with the blank. Ding-a-bong-bing.
Remember Bewitched?
That
she
is.
Made everything big except for his ass. Okay, if you can make shit bigger, what about Darren?
What Darren?
You could have had a better relationship with your husband.
What the
you
world? Put that where did this go?
Twinkle that goddamn nose and said, listen here, what you was blessed with ain't enough.
What?
So I'm a twinkle
what the hell
nose.
Is going on with this? Somebody help her.
She had to call Dr. Bombay.
Yeah.
Dr. Bombay.
What's going on? Yeah. And what was her mother's name?
Agatha.
Esmeralda.
Esmeralda. Agatha. Right. Okay.
Yes, baby. Those are the ones, those are the sitcoms we need back because they were fun. Like, they were fun and they were entertaining and it was, you went on a ride. You know what I'm saying? You didn't have to fucking think.
That is.
It was just a great. I remember.
But it was thoughtful at the same time because some of the things they if you threw the laughs, it did make you think. As you said,
mm-hmm.
when you watch the situation with the young child who was physically challenged allegedly, and then you know it's all a scam. I think that's why the kids, whenever they see these infomercials that come on, they be looking at a side eye like. I don't believe that.
Right. Our children.
Like I don't believe that. And they really, they taught you about life. A lot of times you hear a lot of bad things about television and why it's so bad and why you shouldn't watch it and so forth and so on. But humbly, it's a part of information in society that's very important because it shows you at those specific times my three sons, it shows you how people live during that time. Leave It to Beaver. That was my first understanding watching. Eddie Haskell was the guys around the neighborhood, even though he was a white boy from Middle America, he was the guys in the neighborhood that would talk politely to your parents, but behind their back, he would want to bust a motherfucking window out, and you like, wait a minute. My, you like him? That's Eddie Haskell. So you got a chance to see the dynamics of what you were going to experience. I never understood, once again with the women, I never understood Beaver and his brother, how they went through this period where we don't like girls. I'm like, I never understood that. I'm like, why don't they like girls? But see, our kids now, they try to, except for David. Okay.
Listen.
Except for David. Everybody that try to pretend like, you know, we don't want to talk about, why are you embarrassed about that? So it was just so many questions that it would leave you asking and making you think about that. If you were fortunate enough to have people around you to have that discussion, you could have learned something. If not, you kept it to yourself, and then you watching Monique and Sydney's open relationship and these things that you never knew transpired, like the professor and the relationship between the professor Gilligan and the skipper. While all the time, Thurston Howell's fucking all three of them.
Oh,
you wouldn't have known that
Gilligan.
If we hadn't tuned in and Monique
had told
you.
But nobody
want
to talk about it.
Come on.
Gilligan was passed around, too, then.
Gilligan was passed around, baby. His job was to make them motherfuckers happy. Okay? Though we on the stranded island, your goddamn job is
you
got to make
like
people
you're not
around
treat
here.
Him like that.
Goddamn.
You're not going to pass him around
happy.
Like that.
You know, when you go over the sitcoms, Daddy, somebody put Webster. Remember Webster?
Yes.
Like, we forgot. There's so many we just forgot about that was so rich and so beautiful. And when I say you didn't have to think, let me try to explain myself.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. You didn't go into it with the thought of, I'm getting ready to get a deep message. It just happened. Mm-hmm. Now when you see sitcoms, they put them on there like, mm-hmm. and this episode, and they said nigger, how will we react? And this episode, they said fag and dykes, what will happen? It just happened. Yeah. Like it wasn't when Debbie Allen played the fuck out of that junkie baby on Good Times. Come on when Velma ran out there and said, Mom.
But it was a subtle...
Right,
so
but
it
wasn't.
To the end.
And when she jumped out that window, but even the way it was advertised, it wasn't advertised. We're trying to ram it down your throat.
Well, they did say JJ's something about his girlfriend, but it was the prom thing.
Yeah, you know Penny.
Oh, I didn't even know that was Debbie Allen.
That was Debbie Allen, baby.
When they went to get married,
she played a good junkie.
Well, yeah. You thought she was a junkie.
I didn't know that was Debbie Allen.
That was Debbie Allen.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right.
Oh,
it's like
goodness.
When you think back, when you go back to Louis Gossett on Good Times, Louis Gossett played Thelma's boyfriend,
and
Louis Gossett played Florida's brother.
Yep.
And when they had to go up to their school, and they was trying to tell him that Michael wasn't going to be nothing, he said, you got the wrong one, baby. She was like, Wilbur. Now you can't keep jumping up in here like that on these people. Then when he was Thelma's man.
Yeah.
Come on.
The old man.
Yes. So... I mean, it was just so rich and so beautiful. When you saw Keith slap the shit out of Thelma on Good Times after he had been drinking, it wasn't played like no dun 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 dun. But at the end, remember when he said, hey, baby, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And she said,
I owe you one.
Bam.
And she slapped the shit out of him back. Every woman around the world said, right, she ain't talking about I'm leaving you. I'm packing my shit. I got to go. Listen, we had a hiccup. You slap me in my goddamn face, I'm going to slap you back. Now we're going to keep on going. Even as a little girl, you watching that, and you hearing women talking about that situation. Oh, she need to leave Keith ass. But you saw that woman stay right in there with it. Now, I don't know what happened after they got out the project. Okay?
And it ended there.
Okay, they got out the projects. Come on now. Come
but
on.
If you look at the time periods, you can just see how things have changed and those things that have stayed the same and how the reins in terms of perception have loosened up to some degree over time about what women are able to do and are not able to do and the resistance that you receive now. Like there was a level of resistance that despite the fact that there was always people that may have been accepting of homosexuals, there was a time period where it was okay in people's mind to call someone who was gay a faggot. But then, as time progressed, people start saying, the same people that would have said it at one time, somebody introduced them to the understanding, like, nah, you might not want to come at them like that. Like, that's not socially acceptable anymore. And you see these things over time. The word nigger, they said nigger on the Archie Bunker.
They said it on the Jefferson.
They said nigger on Good Time.
Right, but now they call it the N-word. So it's... interesting how they would, and in real life, they say the word nigger. They don't say the N-word, but Norman Lear was brave enough to have dialogue that sparked conversation, that allowed people to say the things that are on their mind. And you talk about it, you deal with it, and you see how that television had a way in shaping the way we think as people.
Mm, you know what was another one? And we up in the 90s. And I can watch this sitcom, and I could have seen every episode at least 20 times. But when I watch it, it's as if it's the first time, and that is Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Baby,
yeah.
Listen here. Absolutely. The other day, the episode was on where he was the karate instructor. And he was trying to show them some moves, but he owed
Kenji
the money. And Kenji wound up whipping his ass, baby, and taking his money. But what made Martin so amazing? Martin Lawrence followed all the way through. Whatever scene he was in, that brother, he drained that dish rag till it was no more, nothing in it. Like, he got every drop out. He was so committed. So when you watch him right now, you know the line he get ready to say.
Right.
You know what he get ready to say, but you laugh like you are. Shanaynay, yes. Listen here. Yes. Miss Payne, Mama Payne, the little boy at the door, the police officer, the security guard, and that cast around him, they were all so brilliant because everybody shined.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody shined. But Martin was so in the stratosphere by himself that when he went, he was gone.
Well, you know what? It's a lot like, I say, the cast of Seinfeld. Everybody in their own right on Martin had talent,
yes.
You know what I mean, to do other things. And, you know, you can't help but applaud when you see Tashina Arnold doing
yes.
her thing still and rocking and, you know, the whole group whenever you can see them. But it was that type of foundation where you had people around you setting you up and they were funny, too, just like when you watch Seinfeld. That was a funny show.
It was good.
Right. Yeah, you had to pay attention to it. And Seinfeld was a show where people are paying attention to the little nuances in life. And they're speaking to them in an exaggerated form and fashion. But you could appreciate them because you know a Kramer. Mm-hmm. That's weird as all get out, but do anything for you. You know the Elaine, the whole crew that was around him. So, yeah, man, it was like that was that type of environment where you could appreciate everybody in the cast.
We up in the 90s, and we're going to go to this amazing sitcom about this little black girl that loved to write, and her name was Moesha. Baby, before we even go to Moesha, let's go to a sitcom named Thea.
Thea.
With Thea Fadal when we first met Brandy Norwood and Yvette Wilson.
Yes.
And we got the chance to meet those characters. And what made Thea so real for me, she looked like me. And she was this woman who didn't take no mess, but she was full of love, and she worked in that grocery store, and she let them know, baby, don't come in here with no shit. But she had it going on, and she was this woman trying to struggle with her family, trying to find love, and it was just so real and so honest, and you loved it. And then from that show came this young lady named Moesha. And I think what Moesha did for little black girls around the world, we only want to say America, but when I tell y'all that show airs all over the world, what she did for little girls of color, she gave them a different perspective.
Mm.
She gave them a different outlook because Thelma did it first for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thelma was that for us because Thelma was a writer. Thelma was a dancer. Thelma was smart. Thelma wanted to go to college. Thelma was fashionable. Thelma had boyfriends. Thelma was that for
Thelma
us.
Thelma had a lot of boyfriends.
Thelma, okay, she could have slipped into, but Thelma was that for us. Brandy Norwood was that for her generation of little girls. But for me, the comedic breakout on that show was a young lady named Countess Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched Moesha, baby, I couldn't wait till this little pudgy little girl was going to come up on that screen named Kim Kimi. And listen, I remember one time my feelings got so hurt watching goddamn Moesha, and it was the episode where they thought they had clicked Kim off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was still on the line, and they was talking about how she shouldn't wear certain outfits because she was big. Girl, they was crying on so bad. My little feelings were so hurt for that baby. But it was one of those shows. Though it was a sitcom, the way Sarah Finney Johnson dealt with topics, I thought was absolutely brilliant. You know, Dee was a stepmom, and you watched that whole dynamic, and it wasn't always pretty. You know, like Brandy had to let her know, you're not my mother, bitch. I need you to back. But Moesha, I made it personal. Moesha had to let her know. So, I mean, it was that richness of those shows. And I think that's what's missing. You know, the sitcoms that just made you excited and happy. And you couldn't wait to watch them. And you couldn't wait for them to come on. The Wayans Brothers. I'm going to tell you something. To me, that was one of the stupidest shows ever made in creation. But it was funny as shit. Mm-hmm. It was just funny as shit. It was like, what are they talking about? Because John Witherspoon, I don't care whatever he touches. Whatever he touches is gold. In Living Color, gold. You know, so it's just so much richness in our yesterdays. I think that if we brought some of those back, the vibe and the energy of society could get different.
And I enjoyed Moesha because it was a family that you could relate to, and it was a little bit different. Like with the Cosby Show, you could appreciate it during the time because there were no shows on where you had a quote-unquote professional family, if you will, that was you know, on TV. And then when you saw them, you're like, wow. But at the same time, when you look at that in comparison to a Moesha, there was a level of appreciation you had for the Cosby Show, but then the evolution of seeing people that have problems that you can relate to in Moesha, where with the Cosby Show, and now we know, and watching it, just there was a level of reality in the Cosby Show that you watched that made you think that they was perfect. You know what I'm saying? And it was appreciated at the time, but then the evolution of you seeing Moesha where they have real concerns, like this is a blended family. This is a man that works at a Saturn dealership. But they making a decent income together. What was her profession?
She was a principal.
She was a principal, you know, and they were learning life lessons. And what made it perfect was that they showed their imperfections, but show how they worked through them. And there was no one person who always had the answer, because the husband had to rely on the wife for answers sometimes, mm-hmm. and the wife had to rely on the husband, and the children had to rely, and they had to rely on Moesha for that answer. So it was like you got a chance without the Cosby Show, without the Jeffersons, without the sitcoms that came before, you know, you wouldn't have had that. I think now when we watch television and we see the sitcoms, there seems to be a gimmick towards it.
Yes.
You know, it's more gimmicky to catch you in the title without the the stories being as simple, you know, just keeping it really simple.
I think another great sitcom was What's Happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no question.
What's Happening, baby, was... When you watch those three beautiful young teenage black boys, you knew them. You knew the mama. And nobody has come close to what that young lady, Dee, brought to the screen as a child actress or actor, period. Because she was so authentic and so raw and so real. And just so real, you just fell in love with that baby, even when we see her as an adult. And what's so interesting is, we were what city were we in? Recent one. Memphis. We were in Memphis. And when your sitcom goes into syndication, you stay that age forever. You never age. So when kids see me now, and they go, oh, wow, and these are little kids, and I'm almost like, how do that baby know me? Because I'm too old for that. Well, because they see the Parkers. Mm-hmm. And in their mind, the Parkers is airing right now. It never went away. Mm-hmm. It's brand new to them.
It's Lucy. What Lucy was to us. We didn't grasp when we were kids that I Love Lucy was repeats. We didn't grasp that the Mickey Mouse Club. I used to like Annette Funicello too.
Everybody
loved her.
You like all these exotic.
That's what was provided to me at the time on television. But I didn't realize that they were repeats. Cubby, he was the drummer from the Mickey Mouse Club. You know, little stuff like that. Just like the places you go from back then, and they help shape who you are now to get a different level of appreciation for the shit that we watch today.
That's why we wanted to talk about it. Just the sitcoms from back in the day. Those sitcoms where I'm not really a big fan of DVR. I'm really not. I'm not really a big fan of technology and all this new technology. I'm not a big fan of, if you call me, goddammit, I'm on the phone, it's going to be busy. Call your ass back. But now you can click over and then click over and click it. It's too much technology for me. I liked it when you knew it came on 8 o'clock. You made it your business that you had to be home by 8 o'clock to watch the sitcom. And then you couldn't wait to go to school the next day to say, did y'all see the episode? Did y'all see? Mm-hmm. And you talked about that all day long or whatever that thing was. Let me tell you, the realest TV, goddammit, that's ever been shown on TV was when James died. Mm-hmm. Baby, listen here. I was so mad at Florida because I didn't understand. Why is she not crying? Like, why aren't you? What's wrong? You walking around here acting like everything is okay. And Thelma and JJ and Michael is going through it. And Wilona, she don't know what to say and shit. But then the reality hit her, baby, when everybody left and she was in that kitchen. I can't even talk about it.
She threw down she that punch bowl.
There you go. That's how I get you. Because then it hit her like, damn.
I know it was just a show, but it's just like in that moment, you know, it was like Florida lost James. You know what I'm saying? Like in that moment, it was like, man,
but
shit.
And y'all can't see that Monique is getting choked up about this, but this is part of the psychosis that makes you a great actress, because your ass will get into it in the moment, action, and scene.
It's real.
These people was a part of your life, yeah.
One goddamn penny mother sent them the drug dealers and whores and shit up in the house, and they was trying to set Wilona up. And the whole time, Wilona had that tape recorder going, baby. And we all knew it. We was like...
Yeah, what the iron. She stepped to her with the iron.
Didn't she burn her?
I believe she burned her.
Raggedy bitch, I don't... Man, okay.
Right.
But that's how you feel about Clifton Powell. So we understand.
Exactly. I mean, you know what? I'd be willing to shed tears, too, over Clifton Powell, what he had did to Lawrence Tate and Dead Presidents. Lawrence Tate had came up the steps. He had two bags of groceries, and Mr. Powell had punched him down in the face, down the steps. He punched it down in the face, okay? Bam! And he fell backwards down the steps with the bag.
That wasn't Clifton Powell.
It was Clifton Powell. I will never forget that.
He was playing a part. It was the person.
It was Clifton Powell. He did that to him. He did that to him.
He had a name.
Clifton Powell did that to him.
He had a name in the
book. I seen it. You not going to tell me what he did.
What was his character's name?
It hurt me. It hurt me now. And Monique can cry about James and shit dying.
But she's saying,
I can be
James,
hurt.
You're using the real name.
It was Clifton Powell. He did it now. I seen him. He was behind all of that shit.
Cuddy was that nigga's name.
Cuddy.
Cuddy.
It was Cuddy, not
God damn, your price is way too high. You need to Cuddy. Come on. Shit, okay?
Oh, baby, sitcoms from back in the day.
And... fan of song, Esther Rowe played the maid in the movie, where is that?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
And, just thinking about that whole crew, that the type of actors they were then, they were not acting. They were really living in the moment. Because after the goddamn credits roll for Sanford and Son, A Good Time, this is how you know it was good. You wanted to know what they was doing after the shit, after the show was over. Now, what they getting ready to go do now?
Yes.
What they getting ready to go do?
You believed it.
You believed
it. When you cut it off, you felt like Florida was still in the kitchen cooking. Yep. James was, JJ was over there doing his artwork. Michael was trying to fight for some kind of black power or justice.
What was going
Velma
on?
Velma was back there, and there was a lot of niggas living in that house now.
Because,
baby, that was a two-bedroom. You had Florida and James. You had Michael and JJ, you had Velma. Then Keith had a nerve to move his ass in there.
Everybody.
Everybody. And Willona never knocked.
She didn't.
Willona just came in. So, okay.
Don't do it.
Okay. Okay.
Don't do it. Stop it. How about this?
Because she can race say Willona.
You know it. What about
what
this?
What I'm going to race say, Lee?
What you get race say?
Tell me what I was going to say.
Willona and James, like, what was
And
okay. And Florida.
Come on.
Florida went to church, and she told her her Bible.
What you so did not see was them ever take their ass to the church. They never talked about going to church.
We never seen them on Sunday.
We didn't.
It was always during
Willona
the week.
Willona just walked her ass up in there.
It was always during the week.
They were friends.
They were.
They was friends. And in the, she ran the risk of running to James with his boxer shorts on. But see, James wouldn't run out there with it because then there was Thelma. Shit was tight around there. So that's the way it is. It didn't make sense like with the honeymooners. If anybody can remember the honeymooners, which was back in the day, if you can remember in your mind's eye, the door to the front door, it opened outward. Meaning, when they walk in, like the regular people, your door pulls in. When they came in, the door opened outward. So that, what's his neighbor's name?
Norton.
Norton come in, hey, you know, and pull the door. I was like, wait a minute, how come doors don't open like that? But I noticed little shit like that. But the relationship that they had, it kind of superseded the little peculiar things that just didn't make sense. Like, how come his door is always open? We know that on good times, they lived in the hood. Why would that door always be open and Willona could just walk in?
Well, the hood was different back then.
We just suspended our disbelief. That's
we did, because remember that time Mad Dog had shot shit out of JJ. And James was getting ready to whip his ass, baby. But that Mad Dog mother came.
Yep.
And Mad Dog mother say, I wish you was dead like your father.
Who was Mad Dog's mother? Trivia points. 50 points.
You ready?
Trivia. Kick it.
Mad Dog mother was Mad Dog's mother.
You gonna hit me with that? Now, maybe I'm wrong.
No, Mad Dog's mother was Mary Alice.
No.
Mary Doug's mother, if I'm not mistaken, was Donna from Sanford
yes,
and Son.
It was Donna.
That played Fred Sanford's girlfriend.
Woman.
That was Mary
Alice
Doug's
was the
mother.
One with all the babies and
come on.
Thelma, she had the baby in the house and Thelma was trying to hide the baby from her, but she decided she was gonna keep her baby.
Right.
Yeah, she looked old to be having all them babies.
Well, that's probably poor baby, but what she was still doing.
Okay,
there you go.
Okay.
See what they let us know about in the projects.
Okay,
this was. Come on, y'all. We talked about it today. We hope that it made your spirit giggle and your heart chuckle, and just made you feel good about just thinking about yesterday.
Going back down memory lane.
Come on, see his photograph.
Okay.
It kind of made me laugh.
Do it.
It took me way back.
Go on now. Where?
Back down memory
Hold up. Did you do the cabaret? Hit him with the cabaret laugh. That laugh right there to shut him down and let him know life ain't really that hard. Hit him one more time with it.
Yes. Because I sing my songs.
You sing it, goddammit.
I sing my songs.
You sing it, baby.
I sing my songs. Because this is what old back in the day sitcoms make you do. It'll make you sing your song. Remember T-Bow, Mama killed him. T-Bow.
Get it.
That's one of the classic songs from the T-Bow the Clown. Trivia, T-Bow the Clown said he didn't want us to pray.
And there it is, baby. You want to take us on home?
We want to thank each and every ear that listened, each and every eye that watched, and we hope that you're passing the word on. If you like what you're hearing, you like how it's making you feel, let somebody else know. Don't be selfish with it. Wrap it up in a gift and say, listen, y'all, click on the play.it and click on Monique and Sydney's open relationship.
Do it.
And let's have a good time in the listening.
That's it.
That's all we do.
That's all.
And like my daddy said, the mind is like a parachute.
It's no good unless it's open.
My name is Monique.
And I'm Sydney.
We love y'all.
For free.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.